Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Condon selling it.
Two out of two for Walter Clayton Jr. 6-point game, 7 seconds left. Pettiford pulls up, misses on a three ball.
Look at the save.
Clayton saves, and it's over. A return to national prominence for the Gators. Florida will play for the national title.
Go Gators. So Auburn was up 8 at the half. Seemed like they were in a really good position to just close out and advance to their... that wasn't the first, right? Because they had not been in the championship game before, right? I'm talking as an Auburn fan. I've only been an Auburn fan for so long. But 2019, we got to the Final Four, but I don't think we got to the finals, right? John, would you double-check me? I think that's right. Very close in the second half. Florida got it back to tied by 16 minutes to go, so it was dicey. It was fun. That's the only game I've watched every minute of the entire tournament. Then it was back and forth. Auburn had a one-point lead at 60-61 with 7 minutes to go. Florida got ahead by a little, and then Auburn down one. Broom got called for the offensive foul. Could have gone either way. Could have gone foul, offensive foul, and arguably that was the decider of the game with 2.5 to go. And then Florida got ahead enough, and Auburn played the foul game, which never works out. Meanwhile, Houston, game of the tournament. Now, I don't say that because everybody likes to see Duke lose. I don't. I actually like Duke. I don't, you know, I like champions. But Duke is, okay, up 5. And Houston does an incredibly dumb thing. The inbound is coming. You know, Duke is inbounding. Houston's down by 5. This is with a minute 14 to go. And the defender reaches across the plane to touch the guy, you know, to touch the guy and the ball who's inbounding. That's a technical foul. So 5 points down with a minute and a quarter to go, anything could happen. So they gift them a point and possession. So Duke inbounds, okay, and they, you know, they're up by 6. Everything's golden for them with a minute to go.
Houston comes up with a defensive stand. 6-point game. 42 seconds to go.
No threes, no fouls, you're thinking if you're Duke.
Sharp loses his footing. Uzan now with 35 seconds left. Sharp, the jumper. He's got it! Wow. How about that?
So Duke with the ball in a 6-point lead. Houston doesn't foul, which everybody thought they were going to foul, and they didn't. So Duke misses their shot. Houston goes down to the other end and makes the shot. 32 seconds left. They're down by 3 points. Anything could happen. But you think they're probably going to start fouling. No, just play hard defense.
A toss in by James. Floated upstairs. Knocked away. Clay by Sharp. Wilson goes back. He fires. No good. Slammed down. It's Tucker. And he cuts it to 1. 25 seconds to play.
They stole the inbound. They made it. They tried a 3, failed. Got the layup put in for the trail by 1. With 25 seconds to go, and if you're a Duke fan, you're like, what is happening? We won, right? It's over. It's not over.
It's a 1-1.
Duke does get fouled.
No good. Flag got his hand on it. Oh, we got flag over the top. It is. And now it's gonna be 1-1.
Another dicey foul call against Duke. So Duke had been shooting a 1-1 to go ahead by 1. Actually, now Houston gets 2 shots, and they're down by 1 with 19 seconds to go. So, okay, they make both of their shots. They're ahead by 1, and
get it in, Knipple. 15 seconds left. Now it's Flag.
Which is a funny name, by the way.
Makes his move. Flag. Back in. Flag. Short. Rebound by Houston.
Foul. You got a foul. Got a foul.
3.4 when they called the foul. There's 2.5. and Houston is in the driver's seat.
All of a sudden, there's 3 seconds to go. Houston's up one, and Duke has to foul him. Well, Houston makes one, makes two. They're up three with, you know, 4 seconds to go, basically. So it's Hail Mary time.
Second one for Cryer. So poised.
Safety. Inbound. Trap. And maybe get it.
If Houston, do you foul right away?
Damage.
Long one. James. Knocked away. Knipple. Back outside. Proctor tosses it in. It's no good. The dream remains alive for the Houston Cougars.
John, did you watch this game? I could not believe this outcome.
I did.
I was kind of fast forwarding through this game. I was already upset about the Auburn loss, you know, so I'm like, I don't want to watch any more basketball. And I'm fast forwarding, I'm watching like, oh. I actually had to stop and rewind because I went past the drama moment. I'm like, oh, look back up, see how this happened. And sure enough, very, very, very interesting. Perhaps the game of the tournament, one of the weirdest, most interesting notable comebacks in tournament history. But so now we have the finals tonight. Florida, I'll say it, go Gators. They're the SEC team. Okay, they're a local team against Houston. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Florida has looked good all tournament. I mean, they have never looked bad. The only time they came close to looking bad was in the first half against Auburn, but they made up for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down by what, 10?
It was 9 or 10, I think, something like that at the half. They were down by like 9 or 10 total, and they got it back to, I think, within 6. Auburn was up 8 at the half. I just checked my notes real quick. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway. The Duke game is just crazy. But anyway, that's your basketball for over the weekend, and tonight we got the championship game. You watching the championship game, or are you going to go to bed?
I'm going to see how long I can make it, to be honest with you.
I know. You're
getting
you're
up at 3 a.m.
You're an early bed, early rise kind of kid. So,
well, I have to be.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't. I mean, I go to bed at midnight and get up at 4, you know. So, or in this case, 4. The rain this morning.
It was crazy.
I mean, I knew we were going to get some more. And today's weird weather, too, because it's like at 62 now and it's going to go down all day. I know it's a weird one. It's going to be like 53 later on today. But this rain, you know, 10 o'clock last night, we had just taken our walk, and we're like, I thought there was supposed to be some rain. And then all of a sudden...
That's what we were thinking.
Yeah, and then this morning, same thing. I'm like, oh, it's over. Nope. 5 minutes of intense downpour, so all of the usual flooding areas are all flooded this morning. So if you're driving, and you know where it floods. If you don't, if you're like new to the neighborhood, welcome to Pensacola. But, you know, is it a pothole? Is it a puddle? I don't know. Don't drive through it. But, you know, it could have been much worse. Do you see Mobile?
Oh, yes.
Good Lord. They look like the flood.
Like that one in Dauphin Island I saw
yeah.
a car. Yeah.
Cars into their tops of their tires.
Mm-hmm.
Tops of their tires. You know, it's really bad. At least some places in Mobile. Trees down, you know, all that kind of stuff. So 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com. Uses directed. Keep out of reach of children.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag.
Sweatpants, huh? Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month.
Yeah, I feel bloated every now and then.
You have to try new Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies. They have prebiotics to nourish good bacteria, probiotics to help relieve occasional bloating, and postbiotics for immune support.
All that in one gummy?
Yep. So no sweatpants next time?
Not anymore.
Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies for gut health support.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Tune in tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they help relieve individuals with severe pain with their latest in scalar and biophotonic energy room, which can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel
on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm your number one fan.
Good morning, 519 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's very wet out right now. And boy, that was just some wicked intense weather for a little bit this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning. You're right. It is definitely a wet one out there. We're cleaning up a puddle here in the newsroom as we speak.
Are you actually?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's good. That's not good. All right.
But it missed me by 6 inches, so we're all right. U.S. stock futures are dropping as investors continue reacting to the global tariffs being enacted. Dow Jones Industrial and S&P 500 all fell roughly 4% on Sunday. Severe weather continuing to move east across the country. Today, the risk extends from northern Florida into Georgia and South Carolina. High winds will pose the biggest danger. Attorney General Pam Bondi says people have threatened her since she said seeking the death penalty against Luigi Mangione, who, of course, is accused of killing the CEO of United Healthcare in Manhattan. He's pleaded not guilty on state murder and terrorism charges there.
I want to say at my point in life that things with humans no longer surprise me. I mean, I want to believe that. But when this murderer, alleged, but, you know, I mean, right, you know, we know what he did, or looks on video to have done, kills a healthcare executive, people were cheering for him because, what, he was pretty and they hate healthcare companies?
Yeah, it's just such a bizarre situation.
And now that Pam Bondi is going to prosecute him with the death penalty, properly so, for, you know, the crime of, gosh, murder, like political murder, assassination, and people are not just disagreeing with her, amazing enough, but so vehemently disagreeing with her that they're threatening her? I don't know where I'm at exactly, you know, at the ripe age of 54 in the United States of America in the year 2025, but I'm starting to get that I just want these people out of the country kind of feel. You know, I see the porch pirate thing with the Humane Society, and I think, I just think we should deport them. Like, I don't necessarily want to do physical harm to them. I just want them out of my society. I mean, I want all the porch pirates. Can we deport porch pirates? I mean, I don't think you're lawfully allowed to.
Well, if there was ever a crime worthy of Guantanamo Bay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I don't want to send them to Gitmo because then we got to pay to take care of them. I just make them somebody else's problem. You know, there should be an...
They're ruining that El Salvadoran camp.
Can we not send them to some ungovernable island that's like semi-continent size somewhere in the Pacific that...
Greenland?
That just has monkeys everywhere?
Maybe Australia. They don't have people in Australia, right? I mean, just around the perimeter. We could send them to the middle of Australia.
Nobody wants to be there.
No, I've got it now. We send people to the middle of Australia, and if they can make it to the water, cool. You know, maybe they can learn a lesson or something. David, thanks so much for the update. 522 on News Radio 92.3. I see there are certain misbehavior. You know, there's a lot of misbehavior that you think, well, you know, I don't know if that should be a crime exactly. Like, you know, people who won't put their shopping cart back in the stall.
Carton harks.
Is that what it's called? Carton harks?
No. There's a YouTube guy that's carton harks. Narks.
I don't know that. Oh, cart narks.
Narks. Okay. That's right.
Okay. People who walk slow in front of you when you're driving in the like front of the grocery store and they won't walk faster past the cross. I mean, these people who put, you know, gum on the sidewalk. I mean, you don't really think they ought to be executed. Usually,
but, tortured.
But you figure like we're trying to make a society here. Can you just play along a little bit? But the porch part, it's not weirdly, I don't have the reaction to this so much because it's the charity. I mean, I do. It's just the whole thing. The idea that you can't just leave some stuff on your porch and think that maybe your fellow humans aren't going to come rob you. Like, you used to just take this for granted. Now, I mean, you go farther. I mean, people used to take for granted you could leave your doors open, and some people still do. Or the doors in your truck or your car, and you're thinking, No, but now people will open the door just to see if it's open, and then they'll steal your, if there's money or keys or change or guns or whatever. I just sort of feel like I want them all out. Now, maybe if somebody's 16, you know, I know a lot of this is kids' behavior, and if they're, you know, 15 or 16, people do stupid things when they're 15 or 16. Maybe they can change. The person in this video looks like they're maybe 35. They're not changing. I mean, I'm a Christian. Anybody can change, but they're not changing, right? They're, you know, Jesus isn't knocking them off of the horse or the donkey and blinding them and bringing them to him and saying, no, you go preach the gospel. And if he is, they can do it in the middle of Australia. Like, they don't need to do it in Pensacola, Florida. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just older. 437-1620. Oh. I don't.
What? When you go, oh.
This is. I am seeing a lot more of these stories lately, or maybe I'm just in a mood. I don't know which it is. Did you see that they're going to be remaking The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
No.
Which has already been made once into an animated movie a long time ago, which was mediocre at best. Okay, but it was fine, you know, kind of like the old Lord of the Rings animated movie that you may not, people may not remember, a long time ago they hit. And actually pretty terrifying, like the Nazgul and that are pretty terrifying. It's the Black Riders. And then they made, of course, the live action, some of the books. What did they make? Three of them, I think, out of the seven books got made into movies. And they did really well, and then they didn't do so well, and they stopped making them. And then Lord of the Rings, of course, just as a comparison point. You know, three massively successful movies, three more massively successful movies, you know, all that. Okay. They're going to remake The Chronicles of Narnia, which there is a part of me that thinks, find, you know, something new. You know, you don't need to remake the old thing. But this is such a classic story, such a great, you know, millions and millions of copies sold throughout history. You know, C.S. Lewis, of course, a great Christian author, writes them because they're Christian allegories. Anyway, they're going to be doing this, and apparently it's going to be Greta Gerwig, who did Barbie. You know, so somebody that's, you know, got some chops. And I think it's a Netflix thing. So, okay. Anyway, the first one's going to be released in IMAX theaters on Thanksgiving Day of 2026 for 2 weeks before it premieres on Netflix. All fine. I'm good. I mean, you know, this is a great story. I don't mind it being told again, you know, especially if they tell it well, because, again, it's a Christian allegory. I mean, you know, right? Aslan is Jesus. Aslan sacrificed himself for Narnia. You know, it's always winter, but Christmas never arriving. There's all kinds of things. Except, did you see who they're going to cast for Aslan?
Who? Who?
Okay, so Aslan is Jesus.
Right.
Okay, right? Metaphorically, allegorically, okay? Aslan is going to a fantastic actor, or should I say actress, Meryl Streep. So now Aslan the lion, who is allegorically Jesus, the man, is going to be a female voice? Oh, come on now. Come on. I mean, what? For what reason? Texters, or not texters, but commenters online. Didn't you guys learn from the Snow White disaster? Yeah. Oh, man. At Netflix, this is nothing short of insane. It's an assault on the fan base. Somebody else says, Aslan's literally a male lion. Will it be a male lion, or will it be a female? Like, will there be a mane? By the way, one of the key plot points in that story is the shaving of the mane. In case you don't remember the story, will they shave the mane of a female lion, or will it not be a? Somebody else, you know, Aslan is Jesus. Jesus was a man. You know, why are we gender swapping the central character? Yes, you know, there's a lot of situations where you can imagine a central character who's got historic. I mean, it's well known, okay? You could imagine them changing the race of the character. You know, I don't know, making Spider-Man a black kid. Oh, they've done that, right? Or, I mean, you couldn't really make Captain... Could you make Captain America a woman? I don't know. It's weird if you tried to rewrite it that way. But in another way, it's... I don't know how essential it is to that character that they be male. You could theoretically, I mean, I'm not pushing for like 007 to be the, you know, playgirl character, but it's a purely fictional character with no ties to any reality. It's weird. It's agenda pushing. It's DEI. It's all the stuff. But at least you have the recourse of saying, but you know it's fiction, right? And somebody's like, well, you know The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is fiction, right? Yeah, but. There's a tie here. There's a meaning here. And especially with the male lion mane, there's actually plot elements wrapped up around this. It'd be like if they made the White Witch, the Snow Queen, you know, a dude. Which I guess would fit the feminist narrative because, you know, then the woman could be the savior and the Snow King could be the really bad betrayer. You know, like that sort of fits all the gender inversion narrative that we've got. Mrs. Tumnus, I guess, is next. You know, I don't know. What are you going to do next? It's hard to figure out. So, you know, tell the story maybe in a way that doesn't completely alienate the fan base. Or is that the point? We could alienate the fan base and then... That can prove that the fan base is a bunch of gender bigots. They're a bunch of sexists that they won't accept our changes to their historically based allegory.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Stock futures point to another day of big losses on Wall Street. The Dow's fallen nearly 8% since President Trump announced wide-ranging tariffs last Wednesday.
I don't want anything to go down, but sometimes you have to take medicine to fix something.
President on Air Force One flying from Florida back to D.C. California Senate Democrat Adam Schiff on NBC's Meet the Press.
People have seen their retirement savings on fire, and there he is out on the golf course.
President Trump says we have to close trade deficits. The Justice Department is appealing a judge's order that a Maryland man deported to a prison in El Salvador be brought back. Attorney General Pam Bondi on Fox News Sunday.
ICE has testified, members of ICE, that he is an MS-13 gang member.
The man denies it, and a federal judge in Maryland overseeing the case calls those allegations vague and uncorroborated. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is a wet start to our morning. We've got 64 degrees and some showers across the area. Hands-off protests against President Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the Trump administration were held across the country and the state on Saturday, including here in Pensacola. Hundreds of people gathered at the graffiti bridge to spread their message.
Hands off our rights. I guess, you know, that's the best way to put it. Hands off our rights, hands off our freedom. You know, there's a lot that's happened. I'm sure everybody's aware over the past, you know, couple of months that I think people are not happy about. So yes, hands off of all of that. You know, government needs to get out of our lives, get out of our personal lives, and stop making decisions for us. We have freedom in this country for a reason.
That's protest organizer Alicia Trawick. She talked to Channel 3. There were about 500 people at the Pensacola protest. Other protests were held in Orlando, Daytona Beach, and in South Beach, as well as some other parts of the state. The Pensacola Humane Society is looking for help identifying two porch pirates that made off with donations that were left outside of their facility. The items have been dropped off by a Good Samaritan over the weekend. About an hour after, video surveillance footage caught a person walking off with the items. Officials say they're always there to help struggling pet owners, but this was the wrong way. The Humane Society operates a pet pantry where they distribute free items to get to help pet owners in need. They gave out over 6 tons of dog food last year. The Humane Society says they're privately funded, so the donations are crucial to fulfilling their mission. And that footage is available online at the Humane Society social media pages. You can view it there and see if you have any information. A Pensacola man is charged with homicide after a man he punched in the head died. 36-year-old Aaron Simmons was arrested this week. The sheriff's office says he hit a man outside of a convenience store on Gulf Beach Highway. The victim was found unconscious in the parking lot of that store. EMS transported him to the hospital with a skull fracture. He died from his injuries last Sunday. Investigators believe Simmons and the victim had a dispute over money. He's being held on $770,000 bond at the Escambia County Jail. Well, state troopers are looking for a motorcyclist that allegedly shot at another vehicle in Hillsborough County over the weekend. The victim told Highway Patrol investigators he saw a group of motorcyclists driving erratically, weaving in and out of marked lanes. The victim started recording the motorcycles with his cell phone. That's when he says one of those motorcyclists fired several gunshots at his car. It is 5:34 at News Radio, 92.3 right now. Again, we've got 64 degrees, rainy conditions this morning. Our next news is at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said he will not back down on his sweeping tariffs on imports from most of the world unless countries even out their trade with the U.S. Stock futures have opened sharply lower this morning. Dow futures and the S&P 500 futures are both down more than 3%. NASDAQ futures are down more than 4%. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said the White House will not postpone the April 9th start date for reciprocal tariffs. Trump announced custom tariffs on 57 major trading partners, as well as a 10% duty on all imported goods. President Trump has signed an executive order to keep TikTok running in the U.S. for another 75 days to give his administration more time to broker a deal to bring the social media platform under American ownership. China's ByteDance has insisted the platform is not for sale. Futures are sharply lower amid recession fears. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 22.31, the NASDAQ down 9.62, the S&P 500 down 3.22. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Planning to buy or sell a home? Don't let unlicensed individuals put your investment at risk. Watch out for deals that sound too good to be true. Be suspicious if someone refuses to show you a property, won't identify potential buyers, or pressures you. Your home and money are too valuable. Before you work with a real estate professional, verify their license. Visit myfloridalicense.com to learn more.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wet morning, and it's going to become colder throughout the day. So if you're expecting the normal, like, warm up to shorts and t-shirt weather, it's going the other direction. So I don't know what to tell you. You're going to be overdressed this morning if you're wearing a sweater and jeans, as I am, or, you know, fleece. But then later on today, you're going to be happy you did. So there you go. On Friday, we had a chance to talk to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. That is the waterfront property in Santa Rosa County and the southern about third or so of Escambia County. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey,
how's everything going?
Good. Good to see you. Before we get into stuff that's going on in Tallahassee, I did want to give you a chance to, you know, give your take on what happened in the election. Obviously, Jimmy Patronis won by a comfortable margin, but not by a landslide the way you would have expected based on the, you know, Republican-Democrat split. And, you know, of course, for the first time in, what, 30 or 40 years, lost Escambia County to Democrats. But your takeaway, or from the District 3 election of Nathan Boyles, you know, whichever, well, not election, but he wins the primary. One would expect he'll win the election. But your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I wasn't surprised by Escambia County. I mean, the city of Pensacola, if you just take the city itself and its boundaries, it went to Biden in 2020, and it went to Kamala in 2024. So I'm not surprised that Escambia County is bluer than the rest of the congressional district. I think Jimmy Patronis performed extremely well, given the fact that it was a special election and turnout just wasn't the same as it normally is. Republicans generally aren't, you know, special election voters in the way you might think. And as for House District 3, I'm extremely excited for Nathan Boyles. I think he's going to be a great addition to the delegation. You know, I'm just excited to have him as a partner now in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, I got to make sure he wins on June 1st in the general. But assuming all goes according to what I expect it to go, Nathan's going to be a great addition to the team.
Yeah, and of course, he won't be in on this session because, as you say, the election is coming up later, and he's not actually the representative, although in a heavily Republican district, we assume he's likely to win that. Against the Democrat. One other thought is, you know, people keep asking me, like, what's your takeaway from Escambia County's, you know, Democrat win? And my answer is it means nothing because it's such a skewed scenario with it's like doing a survey that gives you very statistically unreliable results because you don't have the right parameters to make sure that it's a statistically valid survey. That's kind of my take. Is that your take?
Yeah. I mean, like, you look at how much national money got pumped in by Democrats. I mean, 2 Chainz apparently came and did a concert in support of Gay Valamon. Like, I probably would have gone to a 2 Chainz concert.
Yeah, I know you would have.
You know what I mean?
That's funny.
You know, while you'd love to just, like, only have people that agree with you vote, the fact of the matter is there's people that disagree with you who vote, and those people were hoping to kind of snake a congressional seat back.
Right.
You know, from the Republicans. So they put in maximum effort, and I think Republicans put in maybe 60% effort. So the results make perfect sense to me.
Nice Deadpool reference, by the way. Okay, so let's talk about things that happened this week in session. The big brouhaha, as I read it, is that, you know, Danny Perez wants to give a sales tax cut to people, $5 billion spend that way to, you know, reduce the price of goods from 6% to 5.25%, especially with tariffs pending, or the effect of tariffs pending, that might be kind of advantageous. The governor, meanwhile, says, no, wait. I want to write every homeowner a check for $1,000. That's how I want to spend $5 billion. He's calling it a property tax rebate, but it's not really a property tax rebate. It's just you're eligible for the check or a stimulus or whatever you want to call it if you pay property tax as a homeowner. I know you're in the House. I know you're close to Speaker Perez, but what's your take on all this?
I want to cut both property tax and sales tax. I think the vast majority of conservative Republicans, if they're honest with themselves, would agree with that. The fact of the matter is that this proposal, just to cut a $1,000 check to every homeowner using sales tax dollars, that's no more conservative than Biden suggesting loan forgiveness or our Medicaid program. There's no government handout that's conservative. So the fact that if this government handout proposal is coming from DeSantis doesn't suddenly make it conservative. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's taking sales tax and sort of just giving out money to a specific subset of Floridians. It doesn't do anything, and it just feels designed to try and undermine a permanent sales tax cut, which would save Florida households north of like $700 a year potentially. We should all be supportive of conservative ideas, even if they weren't our ideas. And I think Governor DeSantis just needs to kind of get on board with that and understand that they don't have to be his ideas to be good and conservative. We should be cutting both property tax and sales tax. The only issue with property tax is it has to go on to a ballot initiative. It has to be passed by the voters. So we'll put that on the ballot. In the meantime, we'll cut sales tax. And, you know, hopefully Governor DeSantis can, like, figure out how to get along with people again.
You know, it's funny, when I first heard the alternatives, I was actually more inclined to go for the $1,000 because that's more than I would pay in sales tax in a year because we're not big consumers. But then I started thinking about it that I realized I had fallen prey to the classic, you know, lottery lump sum versus gradual payout. And if it's even $500 a year, I'm back to even in 2 years. And if it's 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road, then I'm making money every year. It's better for me as a citizen. I wasn't even thinking through the, well, you're taking sales tax money to give people a check over here that, you know, it's still a redistribution of money instead of an actual tax cut, which is, you know, a fair point. One of the things that comes up a lot in conversations with civic leaders, county commission, city council, of course, they gripe about you guys a lot. The most recent gripe, I think, is, I mean, it's a fair concern. They feel like all the mechanisms that they use for funding their general revenue in the city or the county are being attacked, and all the alternatives they could potentially use are being, you know, prohibited as well. Everything from, you know, enterprise funds to property taxes, you know, that, like, all of this is under assault, and they don't know how they're going to fund their operations. So, Alex, you heard the question, you know, our local leaders often feel like they are under attack by Tallahassee, that the funding they have is being taken away, the funding they could replace it is not being allowed, whether it's homestead exemptions or reduction in property tax or anything else. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't view every single bill proposal as an attack, right? I mean, this is the time of the year where a bunch of people get together in Tallahassee, share ideas, and advocate for what they think the best policy is. We just talked about one disagreement on tax policy. The fact of the matter is that not all of these taxing and spending policies are going to pass in any given year, and we're not going to, you know, pass all of them at one time and suddenly tell county commissioners just to go home, their job is done for the year. So like, it's the same as, like, when the headlines come out when a Democrat files a bill about gun control, and these headlines are kind of scare tactics and stuff. Like, some of these bills aren't going to pass. Some of these bills are going to be debated but not pass. Some of these bills are going to result in studies to see if they're going to benefit or harm local communities. You know, even with this proposal on cutting property taxes, I'll be the first to tell you it would be dishonest to say you can't eliminate that source of revenue without replacing it with another reliable source of revenue. If local government officials fall prey to, you know, overreacting to headlines, I would just say that's human nature. And, you know, I've been through this for 6 years, so I've seen it. But I also consider them very good partners. I've always taken their input and worked very well with the ones who are acting in good faith. So, no, I think it'll all work out.
That's the question I was going to ask, because I know every time I hear them say that, I think, well, what they really seem to be saying is, oh my God, Tallahassee is taking away our ability. They want to eliminate property taxes. How are we going to pay for the police? Well, my answer is, I don't know yet because I haven't seen a proposal, but I assume it's going to be consumption, sales tax, VAT, something like that. I feel confident Tallahassee is not going to, you know, a Republican legislature and a governor are not going to tell local governments that they don't have the money to pay their police. They'll find an alternate funding mechanism. Fair? You guarantee that, right?
Yeah, it would be malpractice. It would be completely incompetent if we didn't.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I almost am, like, embarrassed to ask the question, because the concern presumes that you guys are all terrible at your job and don't care about the state, the county, and the city. You know, and you never like to start from that premise. But, of course, if you start from that premise, you can get to any conclusion that you want. Let's see. One of the things that you guys have been working on, obviously you've been working on budget stuff. Can you maybe – this is a simple question, but – I hear on the one hand that we're suffering a deficit. We've no longer getting, you know, federal money in a lot of ways. The budget itself, you know, the income is reduced. And yet at the same time, we're doing these budget, you know, giveaways, $5 billion here, there, whatever it adds up. Are we up? Are we down? Are we just fine? Like, what is our actual position as far as the budget goes?
So we do projections out about 3 years for our financial outlook, and when you talk about a deficit or facing a deficit, what that measure is really is, like, our measure of revenue, which is projected to continue to go up, just not up as quickly as it has in a couple of years past. Revenue continue to go up, but our budget going up at a faster rate. And that's really all we're talking about, is just the trend in our budget increasing at an incline that is steeper than the trend in our revenue collection. It's not the end of the world. It's something we, as responsible you know, government officials have to go take into account. But yeah, if our spending continues on the trend line that it's on, and our revenue continues on the trend line that it's on, we will suddenly have a $3 to $7 to $9 billion deficit in a couple years. And that's just why we're, you know, proposing smaller budgets. We're proposing finding ways to cut. And frankly, we don't even need DOGE to find all the inefficiencies in state government at the moment. So it's been a target-rich environment for finding efficiencies, Andrew.
Yeah, as you have explained many times. And, you know, that's good news. Somebody's doing the work. It's sad news that the work is so easy to do. Right? That's, you know, you wish it, you really had to explore in order to find places to trim. The fact that you basically find them everywhere you look is disheartening.
You turn over a rock and you find 1,000 missing vehicles.
is that just a turn of phrase or is that a real thing?
Thousands of missing vehicles, unaccounted for vehicles in state agencies right now that they can't account for. It's just bizarre.
There's a part of me that doesn't want to know, but this is the classic conservative argument against large government of any kind, right? The farther away it is from the people who can see it and ask questions about it, the easier it is for fraud, waste, and abuse to take place, whether that's, you know, Tallahassee or D.C. or anything else, you know, the closer the better, right?
We're not D.C. We balance our budget, but if you have someone who's kind of, you know, more focused on other things and managing the government efficiently, then, yeah, that's when mistakes start happening, and we're just catching a lot of mistakes right now.
Can you maybe just take a second and talk about the ballot initiative reform? Because that's something that's gotten a lot of headlines. Of course, in our last election, we saw loads of money dumped into Florida on the basis of trying to push a few referenda that, you know, also for the collateral benefit of who you get out to vote and all this. But this has been something that DeSantis has talked quite a bit about. And I know the headlines have been, you know, very sky is falling, Chicken Little kind of stuff. You know, they're trying to destroy the ballot initiative process. What's your perspective on the reform? What are they, and what do you think about the proposals?
Well, first and foremost, it should not be easy to pass a constitutional amendment.
Amen.
It should be the opposite of easy. But in this circumstance, what the focus was on was how these organizations collect petitions, because you have to collect a certain number of petitions. I think it's 8% of the voting population in Florida has to sign a petition to put it on the ballot. And so the bill this week limits out-of-state funding to pay people. It limits incentive funding, like paying a certain amount per ballot. It's designed to try and make sure that these ballots, that these petitions are being signed by actual Floridians, and that we don't have incentives for people to forge petitions on a regular basis. What we saw in a lot of circumstances was high numbers of these petitions, being forged, being fake, and that unfortunately still resulted in a ballot initiative making it on the ballot, for Florida voters to vote on. So I think limiting out-of-state money and raising the standard for these petitions themselves are both good policies. I mean, if something needs to be changed in our Constitution, it should be heavily supported by Florida voters, and the bill this week is just focused on making sure that we can guarantee that it's Florida voters who are actually incentivized and desirous of the change.
You know, it's amazing the level of scrutiny and protocol and form filling that we implement or is implemented in order to avoid fraud in, for example, hurricane recovery and, you know, debris collection, and really anywhere that you have the opportunity to make money as a kind of bounty on an activity. And then when you turn around and try to implement those same or similar kinds of controls on the very key process of exercising democracy and changing the Constitution, all of a sudden, you know, these are terrible protocols. You shouldn't be doing anything like that. Nobody would ever try to fudge around the system on the basis of making money for it. Well, yeah, they would. That's the whole issue. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2, as always, sir, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
Always. 553 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Are you looking for that next vehicle? Frontier Motors might have it. I mean, they might not. I don't know. You know, they got 300 cars on trucks and vans and SUVs on the lot, and they might have exactly what you're looking for at a great price with, you know, low miles. They specialize in cars that are 1, 2, 3, 4 years young, and they're going to warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years. And they may have what you want at a great price. They may have something that's got, you know, lower miles than you're willing to pay for, or that's got higher miles than you prefer. But here's the point. If they don't have it, they go look for it. They buy cars all the time. So you can go to them and drive a few and decide what you like and then say, hey, can you go looking for this for me? And they will go. And, you know, they find cars for people all the time. That's what they do. Like, they're buying cars like three auctions a week. They're buying cars, plus people trade cars in. And, by the way, if you've got a good quality used car that you're looking to sell, they can sell it. You know, sell it to them. They can sell it for you on consignment with, you know, they don't take a fee on that. They just need good inventory for people. So whether you are buying or selling a good quality used car, you know, Frontier can help you. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, get pumped up for some high-energy fun from classic rock cover band Class X at the Gulfside Pavilion. Class X features two powerful lead vocalists and a vast array of material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today. It's at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Hi, I'm Meg, inviting you to tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest. They will be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as an offer of 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress and cost of healthcare on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Sick vandalism. That is a deliberate mutilation of a public service message. Now, I want those little paint-happy bastards caught and hung up by their Buster Browns.
Recognize it, but you can't think of the movie. Yeah, that's the mayor in Jaws.
Jaws, yes.
The mayor who, you know, the mayor in Jaws doesn't get enough credit for being A, written beautifully, mm-hmm. and B, acted flawlessly. Like, the mayor in Jaws is a great satire on politicians, right? I mean, if you,
very
you know,
good.
It really is, you know. Oh, we don't need to close that beach. Everything's fine.
Yeah, anyway, we're all good.
Yeah, it's good. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, anti-Trump protests happened across the nation on Saturday. Rallies were held in all 50 states, several of them in Florida, including one here in Pensacola at Graffiti Bridge. They're saying there was possibly as many as 1,200 of those protests.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I saw a coverage estimate difference between PNJ said 1,000, WAR said 500. I wasn't there, so I can't say. And it's hard to estimate crowds. It really is. But I was thinking about this, that if, okay, let's say it's 1,000. Let's give it the large end of the credit. Gay Valamont in the most recent election got 38,000 people in Escambia County to vote for her. Anti-Trump voters, you might say, because they didn't want Petronas, who was, you know, whatever. In Santa Rosa County, you got another, what, 15,000 or so? So that's 53,000 people in the two-county area, and 2% of them showed up at a protest. I mean, 1,000, I mean, 1,000's a lot, but at the same time, 1,000's not that many. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you all just got to vote. You're angry. You're losing. Things are going crazy. The stock market's doing what it's doing, and 2% of your people showed up to a rally. I mean, maybe if they had brought, you know, Kamala Harris out, big attraction, or a fake Beyonce concert. David Wayne, back to you, sir, with your headlines. Go ahead.
Well, the Attorney General Pam Bondi says people have been threatening her since she said that the Justice Department would seek the death penalty against Luigi Mangione, who's accused of killing United Healthcare CEO in Manhattan. Mangione has pleaded not guilty on murder and terrorism charges. And there's a federal judge not backing down from her order to have a Maryland man returned from El Salvador. Judge Paula Zenas has denied a Justice Department request for a stay on her order to have Kilmar Abrego Garcia return to the U.S. A 22-page ruling called his detention and deportation, quote, wholly lawless.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, we've got two more states are now, southern states, I think Kentucky, Mississippi, are trying to phase out their state income tax. Where'd they get that idea?
Local news every hour and break.